Hello and welcome to episode 436 of the VSiN Market Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Applebaum. Happy Monday, everyone. We have a ton to get to today, guys. We are back at it in the arena. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It was a pretty good weekend overall because I was looking at the NFL and the plays we talked about on the pod, 4-1. How about the Cincinnati Bengals getting 6.5 and winning outright? That G-men, that fishy line, +3. Why isn't it moving off of 3 if everyone's on Carolina? Atlanta on the money line gave us a heart attack there, but this is why you money line short dog to favorite system matches, because if you got Atlanta, you know, anything, what were they, -2.5 at one point? I think they closed around 2, 1.5, so you may have covered there late, but the whole point is anytime I see money line or anytime I see a dog to favorite line move, money line that, just because you want to win the game and not have to worry about, you know, a last-second field goal. Like, if you lay the 2.5, you have a win by 2, you lose your bet. So good hit there with the Atlanta money line. Philly couldn't come through, but late night, the Colts, baby, the Colts in the crazy monsoon rain. You love seeing it. +4.5 all the way down to +3. I saw that late movement. You know, you might have gotten a 3.5, a 4, but that thing late 3.5 was creeping down to 3. So beat the closing line. We know of one of our favorite systems this year, primetime dogs, 13-7 against the spread. So a great day in the NFL. We'll run through the board. There are a couple other plays I added late. I'm talking Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about these big favorites. I have something interesting with these big favorites. I don't know if anyone took Arizona. I had the guts to take Arizona, but I added them late just because everyone is saying you got to take the points, got to take the points. But there are some great crazy bet splits and trends looking at big favorites of 14 or 17 or more with a line move in their favor. So double-digit favorites, 2-1 ATS yesterday, 8-3 ATS on the season. We'll recreate the board, and, you know, again, on a Monday, it's always, what do we get wrong? What do we get right? What can we improve on? What can we make sure that next time it happens, we take advantage of it? That's really, really important. College football, had a couple hits, Wisconsin, Syracuse, Eastern Michigan. The annoying ones for me, that unranked favorite versus ranked opponent system I love and play every time. Iowa State laying 7, they win by 3. Public got us on that one. Same thing with San Diego State. And UCLA was driving at the very end to win that game. They threw a terrible pick 6 or a terrible interception there late. So 3-4 college football, 4-1 NFL, and a little bit of biting in the arena. How about a nice little 2-0, a sneaky little 2-0? Gregory Rodriguez with that huge age difference, cashing -120. Nikolai Nagumarenu laying -230 with a big advantage, or maybe that was the big age advantage. And I think Rodriguez was, I think, that sharp dog to fave him. But anyway, 2-0 UFC, so a good weekend overall, guys. Let me see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 5 between UFC in NFL and college football. And I don't know if anyone is grinding the NBA. Obviously, the NHL is back. I got games to hit on tonight. I have 1, 2, I think I have 4 plays in the NBA. I have 5 in NHL. We'll talk Monday Night Football tonight. But I just wanted to mention one play yesterday with the Islanders that caught my eye. And we were talking about Vegas Knights being a little bit beaten up here with all these injuries. And again, leaning on a lot of favorites in hockey, it's more of a chalky sport. We have, obviously our home favorites, which are doing great, 30-21, 60%. One system in particular that has been awesome is looking at these, the road team who missed. I thought there was a system match. Let me see if I can find it. Because I thought there was one here. Yeah, that October road team who made the playoffs versus a team that missed. That's now 14-9, 61% with almost an 8% ROI. So all these little things in hockey, again, leaning toward favorites. It's a little chalkier. It's kind of like baseball. But we know we got to win at a higher rate. But here's the thing. If you find a juicy dog like yesterday, that was a good hit if anyone got down on the aisles. So I took a shot on the aisles. I like that they went from like +120 down to +117. Or even like some shops didn't got down to like, I don't know, +110. But that short kind of dog move, 10 cent juice, again, with that favorite who missed, or I guess technically that would be a dog. They both made it last year, but that's just kind of an angle with an injury move. And then also looking at, again, a couple of things I look at, Andy McNeil's column every morning at VSiN, and of course The Athletic with their projections, Dom Luchinsky, I think. And by the way, I will be joining Andy McNeil tomorrow on his NHL hockey VSiN betting show. So get ready. Me and Andy are going to be chalking up. I'm really excited. Tomorrow's slate, pretty good slate, 7 games overall. So, guys, again, I'm all over the place, but a good weekend. Hope you had a good weekend. We are grinding. That's what we do. And now we have a big Monday. Anybody ever told you got a case of the Mondays? I don't know, man. I think your ass kicks saying something like that around here, man. Any of my office space friends. Hopefully no one's got a case of the Mondays because it was a really good day in the NFL yesterday. That was great to see. And what's funny is overall favorite 6-4 straight up, 5-5 ATS. But I think we kind of picked our spots here, which was nice moving forward. So again, we'll recreate the board, look at Monday Night Football for tonight. I got some NHL bets, I got some NBA bets, and I think we're just gonna keep grinding like we always do. So of course, everyone, quick housekeeping as always, if you haven't done it yet, sign up for the VSiN newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter. Wake up every morning to sports betting content and information, helpful links, breakdowns, ATS report from Dave Tooley, promos for legal sports books, my market insights column, Sharp Report, Adam Burke's blurbs, JVT, his daily NBA column, Andy McNeil in the NHL. It's free and you got to take advantage. That's VSiN.com/newsletter. Sign up for it. You wake up every day to sports betting info. Get your brain churning and all those gears and wires in your head. Get it going, thinking about betting every day. And again, tons of links to guide you in the right direction. But also, if you want to take that next step in your sports betting journey, sign up for a VSiN All Access membership. You'll get every PSW, Points of the Weekly Magazine, which is just all of our best talent at VSiN putting in their articles and power ratings and stats and splits. I love reading it every Wednesday. You also get afternoon best bet emails, letting you know best bet picks from guests and hosts. And then you also get 20% off the store, all of our betting guides, NBA, obviously NHL, college basketball. Greg Hoops Peterson does not sleep at all. He's writing that thing as we speak. So all of our betting guides, everything behind the VSiN.com paywall, all included with an all-access membership. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe, sign up, and then you will get a 10-day free trial. Excuse me. If you like it, you can just let it renew monthly, save money, get the year, or cancel before the 10 days are up. You will not be charged. That's how you can take advantage here. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And then, of course, get on Twitter. Twitter is great, not just for posting videos of your dog and a picture of your food when you go out to dinner, but it's a source of real-time information in a market that's constantly changing. So again, guys, get on Twitter. To me, it's not what you put out. It's what you get. It's what you can get out of it, I guess. I kind of said that wrong. It's not what you put out. It's what you get or put in. I don't know. I screwed up that cliche. But we're in a news-based information game here, guys. We got to know injuries as soon as they take place. Guys being in or out, upgraded, downgraded, starting goalies, NBA load management. We're going to have to deal with that pretty soon. But Twitter is where you can follow local beat reporters, follow injury reports, follow blue checkmark sports books that sometimes can tweet out good content in terms of, you know, big bets they've taken or bet versus dollar discrepancy plays. But then you can also make sure you follow at VSiN Live, the mothership. You can follow me at Josh_insights. And you can always email me anytime, josh@vsin.com. Questions, comments, suggestions, whatever I can do to help. Hopefully help you read the market, offer some betting education along the way, and hopefully increase your bankroll. As my guy Mike Pritch likes to say, bottom left corner, lower bottom left to top upper right. That's what we always try to do when it comes to our bankroll. But anyway, guys, of course, hit me up anytime at Josh_insights Twitter and Josh@vsin.com. With that being said, let's recreate the board yesterday because I think there are some important takeaways, and then we can transition over to this Monday Night Football game, which I think has some interesting variables here at play. And we can talk about favorites off a bye and primetime dogs. I think there's maybe a case for both sides, but one in particular is the one that I'm rocking with. So I will talk about Monday Night Football in a second. And then, of course, we'll finish up strong with NBA and NHL. But let's recreate the board from yesterday because, again, on a Monday, I think it's always important. You know, there are certain ways that you can look at your day. Like if you have a great day, you stare at your bets all day and you look at your account and you're happy. If you have a rough day, you just want to shut things off and, turn it off, don't look at it and just turn the page. But I think whether you win or lose, it's important to go and look back at the lines. Is there anything that I missed? What did I get right that I can make sure next time it happens, I take advantage once again? Or what did I get wrong and why did I get it wrong? I think that's really important. Did my bias seep in? Did I get a bad number? Did I misread a move here or a historical betting system, whatever it may be? Mondays are really for, in my opinion, kind of an autopsy of your previous day. And then hopefully you can use that to your advantage moving forward. So again, talked about yesterday, favorite 6-4 straight up, 5-5 ATS. And let's just go through game by game. So number one, the Bengals, baby. Bengals getting it done. Absolutely huge here. Bengals, and this was a play for me because everyone was on Baltimore. You look up reverse line move, divisional dog, all the things we talk about, they all were with Cincinnati. Baltimore was the popular play, getting the majority of bets. Yet, and we always ask this, if Baltimore was -6.5 all week, why did they not go to 7 or 7.5? They actually fell down to 6 at a lot of shops, and that's when I knew we were in a good spot there. So the takeaway there is when you are a road division dog with a reverse line moving in your favor, heavily bet game, even though everyone's on Baltimore, yet line falls, that's a play every day that I'll make on the Bengals. So Bengals, even though it was gross, came through bigly for the team. The G-men, another huge hit. Now what's the takeaway for this game? Takeaway is if a line looks fishy, there's a reason behind it. Everybody, and I mean everybody, this is a game we talked about all week. Almost 84% of bets at BetMGM were on Carolina. Better record, Giants stink, all these injuries. But I ask you this, line open Carolina -3. It never moved off of 3. This is what we call a line freeze. A line freeze is when you have really, really lopsided betting on one side, yet the line won't move toward that popular side. You got to ask yourself why. If 84% of bets are on Carolina, then typically in that situation, a sportsbook would move Carolina -3 to -3.5 or to -4 or -4.5. It would move further to Carolina because the odds makers have so much liability on Carolina that they have to entice some betting on the Giants to kind of balance their action. But here's a really important thing, guys. It's a misconception that odds makers always want 50-50 action. And if in a vacuum, that's true because they can just rake in the juice no matter what. But the distinction here is they're going to take a position if they feel it's a sharp side. And this is a perfect example of them taking a position on the Giants. So everyone's betting Carolina, yet the line stayed at 3. That was, sound the alarm, something fishy's going on. And really, look at the juice. All week, the juice was +3, -115 to the Giants. Why were they juicing up the Giants side if everyone was on Carolina? Classic line free scenario, G-men, huge, bigly, 25-3, getting it done for us +3 bettors. Washington, Green Bay, this was an interesting one because there was movement toward Washington. They were +10 down to 9, 8.5, somewhere around there. Green Bay became a really good teaser play because if you took a -8.5 down to -2.5, you go through the 7, you go through the 3. This is one of those plays where actually buying low on a good favorite like Green Bay, even though the line has fell. And that one just, I knew the line was going to Washington. I didn't have the stones to take Washington. I've seen this movie before, Mrs. Lincoln, no pun intended there. And really buying low on Green Bay in these spots where the line falls has been profitable, especially in teaser spot. So again, I know the line went to Washington, but Green Bay ends up winning by 14. And that was just, there wasn't a divisional spot. And again, you had some books, I feel like at one point it got down to 8 and the late movement brought it back to 8.5 or 9. So that's another example of that late movement, kind of leaning you toward Green Bay. Tennessee, woo, the Titans, baby, the importance of game day movement. And again, I love this one. This was a late ad for me on Lombardi line. Again, make sure you tune in Saturday, Sunday, Lombardi line, 10 a.m. Eastern time to noon. But what I liked about this one, guys, and why I took a shot on Tennessee is kind of the last 24 hours, late Friday into Saturday and then into Sunday, all movement came in on the Titans. And number one, Titans were just contrarian in a heavily bet game. But really the play for me was looking at this late move where at one point the Chiefs got to -5.5. And really ever since it got to 5.5, all money came in on the Titans, +5.5, +5, +4.5. It ended up closing at 4. So here's another example of that late movement. Like if you're not sold on a game, but yet that late movement is going in your favor, then I think that's a kind of pushes me over the fence sometimes. So Tennessee getting points with that late move came up bigly for the team. Atlanta and Miami. Here is a really important teachable moment, and I cannot stress this enough. When we see dog to favorite line moves, so 2 weeks ago it cashed with Minnesota, dog to fave at Carolina, it cashed again Atlanta yesterday, dog to fave. But here's the thing. If you got the -2.5, you actually would have lost Atlanta. If you got a -2, you pushed. It ended up closing 1.5, and there was some late movement to Miami. But this is something that we always want to stress, and I always want to stress. It's really important. Always go money line on these short dog-to-fave line moves because I don't want to mess around or screw around with exactly what happened yesterday where Atlanta needed to go down the field and get a late field goal huge to win the game, but they only win by 2. So here's the thing. Again, if you get the 2.5, you lose. But why put yourself through that aggravation? I'm going to say earmuffs, any of our junior listeners out there, just win the damn game. That's what I always say to myself, dog to fave line. When people, and I had someone tweet me this, they're really good question. They're like, how can you take Atlanta now laying the points when they open +1.5 and now they're -1.5, -2, -2.5? Here's the thing. I want to be with the sharp side, and it takes a lot of respected money to flip a team dog to favorite. Top the fence, it takes a lot of respected money. So I want to be with that big money. But here's the thing. I don't want to get the worst of the number. I'm willing to pay a little more juice just to say to myself, WTDG. WTDG. I just made that up. Win the damn game. That's the whole point. So don't mess around with, you know, laying 1.5, you win by 1 and you lose. Laying 2.5, you win by 2, you lose. Always go money line in those spots. And again, that was only a money line of, I think, like, I got like minus 125, minus 130, something like that. So pay the extra juice and just win the damn game. Jets and Patriots. I did not see that blowout coming. I didn't see that huge over coming. I think the Jets are just got awful. They really are terrible, even though I think their backup quarterback was maybe better than Zach Wilson. But the Jets, we can't explain how terrible the Jets and some of these teams are, Houston especially. But that was a -6.5 up to -7 Patriots, and it kind of stayed Patriots -7. I'm glad I didn't play it. I leaned Jets at +7 just because it was one of the most lopsided plays, and it really only moved to 7 and never went to 7.5. But I'm glad I didn't play the Jets just because they are the J-E-T-S Jets. The goddamn Jets. I know a lot of people who tease the Patriots down to, you know, -1. That made a lot of sense. I just think the Jets are going to be a team that is so bad, even though they may have like line freeze-ish type sentiment. It's going to take me a lot to bet on these teams. So again, if you laid the points with the Patriots, nice hit if you got that one. Detroit and the Rams. This was a dog play to Detroit. It was a little lean here to the Rams. The Goff Bowl here, going back with McVay. You had a move toward the Rams. You know, a lot of books were like, I thought the early opener was like -13, -14. At one point, it was like 16. Ended up closing 16.5. But that was a road double-digit dog that did come through for you. I didn't play it either way. So that was kind of a layoff for me, but you got to give props to Detroit, who I got the under 4.5 win total at +125, and they are now 0-6. So let's keep losing. Although Detroit is 3-3 ATS. The one that annoyed me, which we crushed the closing line, was Philly +3. It was a great day in the NFL, but that one was one of my favorite plays. And this is why I flat bet, because, you know, Philly was one of my favorite plays. I got +3. Did you guys see where that closed? That closed out a pick'em, which was crazy. All game day, that thing tanked. Darren Waller was out, and you had a lot of injuries. And, again, continue moving toward Philly. Vegas rolls 33-22. So, obviously, we get the plus. If you give me a team, if I get a +3 and it closes out a pick'em, you know, I'll make that bet every time. People say, was that a bad bet? No, that's a pet peeve of mine. It's not a bad bet if it loses and a good bet if it wins. It's a good bet because you got a +3 and it closed at a pick'em. You read the market correctly. And if you do that, extrapolate that over the long term, if you consistently get better numbers, you're going to be winning better. But Philly did not come through, even though we had a lot of matches and crushed the closing line on that one. Now, the last three were really interesting to me because we went into yesterday. And this is something that, I think a lot of public bettors fall into a trap of just if a number's really big, take the dog. If it's small, take the favorite. But you got to look at every game individually. So I actually laid the points with Tampa Bay and I laid the points with Arizona. And again, I'm not a lover of laying double-digit points here, but there were reasons why, and they both ended up coming through. So I had a Tampa Bay late because that reminded me a lot of the Miami game when Miami went to Tampa Bay and you had some late movement there toward Tampa. This was the same thing where you had injuries, Gronk and Antonio Brown being out, a lot of these guys being out. And this thing opened, I think it was like 13, got to 11.5. But my play here was actually buying low on these dips with the favorite. And the point to me was Tampa Bay is averaging 33 points a game. Chicago's averaging 16. So if I'm on a favorite, I want a favorite that scores to cover a big number against a team that really has no offense here. So 38-3 win, big win there if you took Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was kind of in that Green Bay Packers spot of, you know, buy a dip. And get a better number and with a big advantage offensively. Now the one that really got me going, the Arizona Cardinals, because we went to this show and on Lombardi Line on Sunday, and it was like, how is this line so big? You have to take Houston. They're getting 19 points. But guess what, guys? On game day, Arizona went from -19 up to -20. I even saw some books get to 20.5. So late movement was toward Arizona. And here are now with double-digit favorites going 2-1 ATS yesterday. They're now 8-3 ATS on the season. And if you actually look at big favorites that rise at least a point, over the last decade, I want to see they're almost like 58%, something like that. But that was a point where you actually were buying low on Arizona. I think Arizona at a lot of these spots, we're getting like 44% of bets, but 67% of money. And the line kept going toward Arizona. So I laid it with Arizona. And again, it reminded me a lot of Houston going to the Colts and the Colts rolling 31-3. It was almost the same exact result. So Arizona, here's the thing. If Arizona was getting 90% of bets and they move minus 17 to minus 20, then I want no part of it. But Arizona was almost a sneaky contrarian low bets, higher dollar discrepancy play. And here's the other thing, non-conference favorites. You look at favorites in non-conference play, much better than favorites in conference play. Lack of familiarity benefits the better team. Familiarity benefits the team getting points. So always remember that. And I did want to mention, too, one system yesterday, conference dogs plus 7 or less. They went 3-1 ATS yesterday. They're now 34-20 ATS, 63% on the year. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Conference favorites plus 7 or less. And then, of course, the Colts capping off a fantastic day with the horses, the ponies, the Colts getting it done. We talked about that all week, but that was 4.5 down to 4, late moving to 3.5, juice all the way down to 3. We now have our primetime dogs 13-7 against the spread. Colts getting it done for the team. So we're going to take a very, very short break. I'm going to make you wait this one out. But when we get back, we are going to hit on Monday Night Football. We got the Saints, and we got the Saints off a bye. We got Seattle. I got an interesting stat here on Geno Smith and Jameis Winston. I got some I got some system matches on both sides, but I think one side is a stronger bet. So I got to play on the spread on Monday Night Football. And then we're going to turn the page and transition over to the NHL and the NBA. Because I'm seeing some good moves here in the NHL. I have our first puck line play of the year. We'll talk about puck lines and when to use them and when to take advantage. Remember, that's a spread in hockey, -1.5. Got to win by 2 or more goals. And then we're going to end it up with a little NBA because I got some totals in the NBA. I got a spread bet I really like. We're going to get to it all when we return on episode 436 of the VSiN Market Insights podcast with me, your buddy, your host, the guy you sweat in the arena with every single day, your buddy, Josh Applebaum. Stick with us, guys. We will be right back. All right, everyone, we are back at it after taking a very, very short break here. We start off the pod looking at a pretty good weekend. A couple of our UFC bets coming through bigly for the team, Rodriguez and Nagumarenu. And a great day in the NFL with the Bengals, the G-Men, Atlanta, Indy. You may have added a sneaky sharp, although it sounds crazy to say laying 20 points is sharp, but that was a good ticket count discrepancy with Arizona, so Arizona ends up rolling there late. But anyway, guys, let's flip it over to Monday Night Football. So we got a lot to talk about for tonight's game. Number one, let's just kind of set the stage. So we have New Orleans and Seattle coming in this spot, really kind of trending in opposite directions. You look at New Orleans, they're coming off a bye. They won two of their last three. They beat Washington 33-22, cover the 2.5. Look at Seattle after losing Russell Wilson, now 0-2. They've lost two straight. They lose to Pittsburgh 23-20, although they did cover the 5.5 in that game. And really, guys, this line and what we're seeing reminds me a lot of that Titans game from yesterday, and I'll give you an example why. So number one, it's a public play toward the Saints. Saints are getting 64% of bets at BetMGM. So again, walk into a bar, 2 out of 3 people are wearing a Jameis Winston jersey, or maybe they still got their holdover with Drew Brees. But a lot of these books open New Orleans around -3.5. You saw at one point it got all the way to 5.5. And we do have these trends toward teams coming off a bye. If you look at favorites off a bye, 58% ATS, road favorites off a bye, 66% ATS, both of those would match with New Orleans. And early movement to New Orleans, all these off a bye systems with New Orleans, I'm like, okay, New Orleans here. But guess what? All late movement last 24, 48 hours has been towards Seattle. Seattle, when they got to +5.5, a lot of money hit Seattle, 5.5, 5, 4.5. It's now down to 4. I'm going to be on Seattle here, guys. I don't love going against these bye week trends, but we got a lot of matches here with Seattle. Number one, primetime dogs, 13-7 against the spread, 65%. To me, it's almost out of principle when you're a primetime dog and you're only getting, 36% of bets, just great contrarian value to start. But also conference dogs, +7 or less. System that was 3-1 ATS yesterday is now 34-20 against the spread this season, 63%. And it's all that late movement to me. Again, same exact thing as Titans, getting all the way to 5.5 against the Chiefs and late money coming back in their direction. Now, you can walk a tightrope here. I'm on Seattle. I'll take the +4 if that's the number I get. But I think with more and more New Orleans money and Seattle bettors wanting nothing to do with Geno Smith, we may get a 4.5. So I'd hold out and see if he can get the hook 4.5. If not, I'm on the 4. But a couple stats here. Geno Smith, believe it or not, his last six starts since 2014, 6-0 ATS. So you're almost buying low. I think the thought process, you walk into a bar, say, what do you think of Geno Smith? Oh, he stinks. He's terrible. But he's covering numbers. You look at Jameis as a favorite in the NFL, 8-16-1 against the spread. Has not covered. Geno has covered. So again, early money and the buy stuff toward New Orleans. But my play here, guys, is getting Seattle at home. I'm taking the 4. I'm going to wait out, see if I can get a 4.5. And I would mention also with the total, a lot of under money came in. Open 44. It's all the way down to 41. It looks very similar to that windy, rainy under last night in San Francisco, where you had that late interception and a score to send it over. But that was a deadbeat under, 44 down to 41. Same exact thing here. It's going to be very rainy, very windy in Seattle. About 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. You also have an under ump, Sean Hockley. He's 55% to the under. And you also have some system matches here looking at low totals, 45 or less. They go under 19-11, 63% this year. Total stays the same or falls, the under 54%. So I don't know if I'm playing the under now. Again, I hate betting totals after we've moved like 3 points or more, because that's really big. Then again, you know, on Thursday night with the, what was it, Denver and Cleveland, that was the same exact thing. And it was a 17-13 or a 17-14 game. So clearly under money here. But again, if I feel like I have an edge on one side, I don't want to add another bet just to have more action. So I'm just rocking my Seattle play plus the points here. Can we get a 4.5? That's what I will be holding out for. Now let's flip it over to a little bit of NHL. So NHL, it's starting to heat up here a little bit, and I got some system matches and plays for tonight. So first on the board, I'm going to go Dallas Stars. I'm going to lay the Stars around minus 125, minus 130. Had quite a few matches here for Dallas. So number one, injuries are kind of breaking toward Dallas. They're going to get John Klingberg back, one of their best defensemen. To me, that's a big, big addition here for Dallas. And really, a lot of these books open Dallas around minus 120 on the road. Again, ticking up to minus 130. This would match our non-division road favorite off a win system, 8-3 this year, 73%, 60% last year. Also, our well-rested road favorite system in general. If you are a road team and you're getting an extra day of rest, we have Dallas playing on the 22nd. Columbus played the 23rd. Dallas has won 2 in a row. Columbus has dropped 2 of 3. Rest advantage, Klingberg back, small line move, non-division road favorite and favorite off a win and rested favorite, all matching Dallas. Give me the Dallas Stars here. Laying around a minus 125, minus 130. Keep on cruising. Taking a shot on the Rangers. Give me the New York Rangers here. They open around minus 125. They've been bet up to around minus 135. So good move in favor of the Rangers. We talk about these home favorites. It's really not the crowd. It's getting the last change to match up defensively. You know, put your best defensive pair against their top line. But 30-21 this year, almost 60%. It was 64% last year. So you're getting your last change. And also like, with the Rangers here, off to a pretty good start, 4-1-1. They've won 4 straight. I'm looking at the Rangers here at home, getting it done around minus 135-ish. Keep on cruising. I told you I had our first puck line play of the year. Well, guess what? I am puck lining. -1.5. That's your spread. It's like the run line in baseball. -1.5 Florida at minus 145. Florida is a minus 370, 380. They're getting up to almost minus 400 at home against Arizona. Florida, one of the best teams in hockey. Arizona, one of the worst teams in hockey. But here's the thing, guys. To me, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. If you're laying a minus 380 tonight, we're risking one unit to get what? 0.25 units back? Something really minuscule. I'm going to go by 2 or more here. Big favorites, 200 or more. 8-2 this year, 80%. We had talked about the home favorite system match, and I don't want to jinx it. So if you hear that, it's me knocking on wood. We got 5-0 Florida, 0-4-1 Arizona. Arizona has lost by 2 or more in 3 consecutive games. And we have Florida. I believe Florida, they didn't cover the puck line in their first game, but their last 4, they've covered the puck line 1-2, 1-3, 1-3, 1-4. So again, I'm not going to lay a huge number. I'm going to go puck line. First one of the year, -1.5, minus 145 on Florida at home. Next one up, give me the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm on the Canes here tonight, guys. This is kind of a 50-50 game. At one point, it was minus 105 both sides. It's now ticking up to around Carolina minus 110, so or even minus 115. It's going back toward Carolina. I think it's a very well-rounded team. Frederick Anderson is playing great here in goal. In Toronto, to me, they're flashy, but they've lost 3 straight, And I think it's a good spot to bet against them. You look at them defensively, they're giving up almost 3.1 goals a game. Carolina's only giving up 1.75. Better defensive team at home, last change and a late move. Give me Carolina here. Shop around minus 110. And then my last one of the night, St. Louis. Give me the St. Louis Blues. I like the St. Louis Blues here. A lot of these books, and we just got a goaltender. I think it's going to be Ville Leino. Wow, blast from the past, and he played for the Flyers. But a lot of these books, they were around like minus 165, kind of stayed where they're at. But my angle here would be these home favorites. Big home favorites, minus 150 or more, are 70% to start the year. This is also a tired match for the LA Kings. The Kings, who are 1-3-1, St. Louis is 4-0. St. Louis last played the 23rd. Kings last played the 23rd as well. However, the Kings are playing their fourth game or third game in 4 days, whereas St. Louis didn't play their last game before the 23rd on the 20th. So you have a rested St. Louis Blues team at home against a Kings team that is hopefully going to have some tired legs here. I'm going to lay it at home with the St. Louis Blues around minus 165. So plays for tonight, Rangers around minus 135, St. Louis minus 165, Dallas minus 127, that's the number I got, Carolina minus 110, and Florida puck line minus 1.5 at minus 145. Now let's flip it over to a little bit of NBA. It's been a decent start here to the NBA. Let's see if we can keep it rolling. So first one on the board for me, and I would mention there's been a little bit of a move toward the Indiana Pacers here. Bucks Pacers, Bucks open around -3.5 at one point, all the way down to like 1.5 or 2. So I was leaning a little bit with Indy, but I don't know. Indy's kind of a tough team to trust here. I would lean Indy or nothing, but my one play is the over. One thing I noticed about this total, it opened 230, public split, but yet some books are 230 or up to 230.5. I took the over 230. And if you look at these metrics here, again, NBA Hollinger, just search it. It's a great free resource every day. But the Indiana Pacers are 8th in offensive efficiency. Milwaukee is 13th in offensive efficiency. So they're both top 13. And they're actually on the bottom defensively. Indiana's 17th defensive efficiency. Milwaukee is 23rd. So we have a top half offensive efficiency, two teams, and a bottom half defensive efficiency for both teams, with a total that's a little bit on the rise. And we got over refs, CJ Washington, Mark Lindsay, both around between 52 and 54% to the over. I'm going Pacers over 230 there. And again, if you like the Pacers, they do have a move in their favor. So I would lean Pacers. I'm going to grab the points with the Toronto Raptors. That's my second play of the night. I know JBT was on the Raptors. I always like overlapping with JBT. Vucevic is questionable for this game. And also, in terms of line movement, you know, Chicago opened -2.5 on the road. They're down to -2. Some books even got to 1.5 at one point. So I'd try to find a 2. I think it's pretty available out there across the market. But everybody's on the Bulls. 3-0 straight up, 3-0 ATS. But who have they played? They played Detroit twice. They played the Pelicans. I think it's a good spot to buy low on the Raptors. They're not very good offensively, but they got a really good defense. They're only giving up about 94 points a game. And this is one of those plays where everyone's falling in love with the Bulls, yet Vucevic questionable. Bulls haven't played anyone, and now they're on the road at Toronto, and they're laying points. That seems like, again, I'm not a big believer in trap lines, but I think the public might get trapped in the perception of an easy layup with the Bulls. Give me +2 at home with the Indiana Pacers. With the Toronto Raptors there. So Raptors in the points. And then I got a couple totals to end the night. Wizards, Nets. I'm going to buy low on the over here. So Wizards, Nets, and I don't know the status of Bradley Beal. If he's in, I would lean points here with Wizards. Nets have really struggled to start. I think the Nets opened around like -7.5. They're down to like -6.5. Maybe that's a sign that Beal is in. But I like the over here. It actually opened, believe it or not, at like 234.5. So I'm buying low. It's now down to 228.5. But are you going to take the under 228.5 when open 234.5? To me, you're getting the worst of it. So I like to buy low on these dips. And if you look at some of the numbers here, Washington, number 7 offensive efficiency. Brooklyn, number 22 defensive efficiency. So I'm going to buy the dip. Hopefully we get Beal in here, but hopefully a big high-scoring game. Give me the over 228.5 for the Washington Wizards here in this spot. And then late night, I'm going to also buy another dip and go Blazers-Clippers over 230.5. Portland is 2-0 to the over this year. We also have the Clippers, 29th in defensive efficiency, one of the worst teams in the league, but they're 5th in offensive efficiency, and Portland is number 1 in offensive efficiency. So two good offensive efficiency teams, and Clippers are terrible defensively. Open 230, 4.5 down to 230.5. I'm going to buy the dip. I'm going over 230.5. We do have one, or actually two, really good over Fs here. Brent Barnacki and Eric Lewis, both between 52 and 55% to the over. So Clippers over 230.5 for me there. So plays in the NBA. Clips over 230.5. Nets over 228.5. I'm taking Toronto plus two. And the first one was the Pacers over 230 there in that one. So hopefully getting some points. But there you have it, guys. I want to mention a couple quick numbers that just caught my eye. Seeing late movement here, or I guess early movement. This may end up being a public play. I don't know if I'm walking into a buzzsaw, but Green Bay is getting 3.5 on the road at Arizona on Thursday night. I'd be looking at the points there with Green Bay. If you look at Aaron Rodgers, historically as a dog, I think I have a system Rodgers as a dog. Let me dial it up. Cause I feel like it's really good. Rodgers in his career is 59% ATS, as a dog. Actually, he's only 21 and 19 ATS. Never mind. I thought I saw something else there. But this would be a road team. Line stays the same, moves in their favor. I'm thinking 3.5 right now. I'll make it down to 3. That's why I'm intrigued by grabbing the hook right now. Again, primetime dogs, 13-7 ATS. Conference dogs, 59% ATS, 7 or less, 63%. So if you like Green Bay, getting the hook here might be meaningful. It looks like it may get down to 3. We shall see. And then another one, Dallas, Minnesota. That's another primetime game, Sunday night. Early money toward Dallas. They would match favorite off a bye, road favorite off a bye, 58% and 66% ATS last decade. But Dallas opened minus 1 on the road, 1.5. They're up to 2.5. So I'm sure if this gets the Minnesota plus 3 at home, it'll be a gross hazmat plus 3. But early money, if you like Dallas, that's kind of like in that Falcon spot. Not a dog to fave, but off a bye and you're not getting the best of it, maybe a money line spot with Dallas at what, minus 140, something like that. Those just caught my eye. And I would say my Patriots going plus 6 to plus 5.5 at the Chargers. Keep an eye on that one. I know that would be a favorite off a bye, but not a road favorite off a bye. So I know we're not hitting on all of them, but a lot of games to talk about, a lot of games to get to. We'll be covering them all throughout the week. So just get ready. But with that being said, guys, another day, another dollar, a great weekend in the arena, biting 2-0, NFL 4-1. You maybe even had a better day than that. And looking at tonight, guys, reminder, Seattle getting the points, Rangers, St. Louis, Dallas, Carolina, Florida puck line in the NHL, Toronto in the points, Washington over, Portland over, and what was the last one? Washington over, Portland over, and Indiana over. Would I be sweating tonight? But anyway, guys, if you had a good weekend, if you have a, if you're feeling good, if you started listening to the pod and your bankroll is slowly going bottom left to top right, or maybe you started to flat bet or avoid parlays, or you're just seeing the importance of taking your bias out of it, betting based on data analytics and line movement with a contrarian mindset. If the pod has helped you in any way, and hopefully you had a good weekend, and you want to make my day, let me know you appreciate the hard work I put in every day. Buy my book. It's called The Everything Guide to Sports Betting, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's got everything I've learned in the industry here, working since 2011 and betting on sports since the college days at the University of Vermont. But again, it would mean a lot to me. It's got insights into how lines are set, why they move, taking it behind the book, how to go contrarian, how to read line movement, how to identify sharp action, how to place a bet in person or online, how to set up a bankroll management plan, how to create a gambling community, all this stuff included, as well as chapters for all the major sports. It would mean a lot to me if you want to pick up a copy. And if you already have, thank you, and thank you again. With that being said, whether I see you at the Borgata in Atlantic City, Twin River in Rhode Island, the Brook in New Hampshire, Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, newly legalized, the beautiful stadium swim, Sweat and Sharp contrarian plays with the crew, hopefully cashing the aisles last night. I'm sorry for the VGK fans. You guys are just too banged up right now. Or the good old South Point where the true grinders get down, where Billy Walters sends his number runners, wherever it may be. You're going to walk up to me. You're going to flash me a Rodriguez, minus 125 pick in the UFC. Ngu Mirenyu, minus 230 with the age difference. You're going to flash me a beautiful, sparkling Bengals, plus 6.5. G-men getting 3. Why were the G-men getting 3 and always getting 3 when everyone was on Carolina? Line freeze, baby. Atlanta Falcons, money line. Don't lay the points, go money line. How about a Colts plus 4 to end the night? How about a sneaky Cardinals laying the points? That, when I saw that late movement, again, Cardinals 17, 18, 19, 20, and they weren't very popular, oh, man, that's a play I love seeing cash bigly. So hope you had a good weekend, guys. Reminder, I'll be on Betting Cross America from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time today. Update you guys on all the numbers, everything that's going on across the market. But seriously, Flash Manolo's tickets, first one's on me, next one's on you. We're going to post about the book, hopefully keep it rolling here going into tomorrow. And of course, my parting words as always, stay sharp, stay contrarian, bet against the public, place yourself on the side of the house, always be with the smart money, never against it. Will smart money win every time? Nope. There are certain situations where you get the Eagles plus three, they close out a pick 'em and you lose, but that's okay. If we consistently find that sweet spot. Again, I'm not a handicapper. I can't tell you, I don't set my own numbers. I can't tell you the line should be six and it's four. No, we're finding that sweet spot. There are different ways to skin a cat when you bet on sports. And my model, my formula, and what I know is true and what I was raised on and really see the fruits of it long term is finding that sweet spot where you can simultaneously be against the public, with the house, with the pros, beat the closing line, flat bet, no parlays. If we can do that long term, guys, we're going to be successful sports bettors. So it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's forest amongst the trees. You guys know all the cliches, but hopefully I had a good weekend because pretty good overall for the games that we hit on. So let's keep it rolling. I'll see you at the window. First one's on me. Next one's on you. Don't forget to tip your ticket writer. Have a great Monday. Hopefully no one's got a case of the Mondays. Get your ass kicked saying something like that around here, man. Again, if you haven't watched Office Space, what are you doing with your life? One of the greatest movies ever. But good luck, everyone. I'll see you at the window and hope to see you on Betting Across America. Have a great Monday.